Come on, let's bless God with our hands. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
For our reading of the Word of God today, we'll come from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. To God who is our Father, His Son who is our Savior, Holy Spirit our Comforter, to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, and his absence, let us continue to pray for him. He's on assignment, amen, again. To our officers and mothers, to our youth, our ushers, youth ushers on today, and to those that lead and set the example for them, to our music ministry choir, amen. Thank you today for blessing us in song, amen. Our God is mighty, amen. Amen. And to all of our Father's children that are present on this morning, whether you be member, visitor, or friend, it is just good for us to be here, amen. Amen. I will not tarry before you long, but the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, in which I know that you can quote with your eyes closed, or if you are on a sick bed or whatever it may be, you can quote this particular passage of Scripture. Amen. But just because we can quote it does not mean that we understand it. Amen. Amen. So I come to try to help us understand a bit more about this text. Amen. The proverb says this, he said, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and him being the Lord. He said, and he, the Lord, shall direct thy path. Amen. I want to use this for a subject, if I may. I can't figure it out. Amen. You can be seated. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Not that he can't. I can't figure it out. My brothers and sisters, I'm sure that I'm not the only one in this room this morning that has ever hit a brick wall. I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one in this room this morning who has ever felt like screaming, and there is nobody in the room. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one this morning don't ever feel like throwing up both hands and hollering. Yeah, that's the Marvin Gaye version. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only somebody here in this room this morning that's never felt like walking away or ever felt like being troubled by trouble. Amen. Because I know some people, Reverend Moore, whose favorite thing to do is to do puzzles. Not those small puzzles, but those 300 to 1,000 piece puzzles. Yeah, these are the folk that they'll spread all the pieces out on the table. And they'll proceed to match like patterns together. And in a matter of some hours or even sometimes some days, they would have taken this puzzle and have completely figured it out. And they do it without any missing pieces. What am I saying? If that puzzle represented life and living, the truth of the matter would be that most of us are still trying to figure out the puzzle. Yeah, because we shouldn't be struggling on how to figure out the puzzle, because we have a roadmap in the Word of God. We have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the assurance of our salvation. However, we often find ourselves in a discombobulated position when faced with issues, problems, and circumstances, no matter what the size they may be. I know, my brothers and sisters, people, just like you may know, who are cool in a minor crisis. Yeah, because see, when you're in a minor crisis, it's not a big deal. Yeah, because you think you can figure it out. I know folk that if they accidentally burn the toast, that ain't no big thing. Because all I'm going to do is just pop another piece of bread in the toast and keep it moving. I know some people who are cool even when their car fails along the highway. They may have a flat or whatever it may be along the highway, you know. They are very calm. You know why? They just pick up their cell phone because they call up AAA. And they kick back and wait on the rescue vehicle to come and take care of business. I know some people who are even cool. I think, ladies, you're going to agree with this. I hope I'm saying the right thing. Who may have a hairstylist who was having a bad day. And they sit down, you sit down in the chair and hoping to get up looking like Kerry Washington. But instead, the color is just not right. The length of your hair is just too short. But instead of complaining, you write it off and say, baby, at least you left me left looking like Halle Berry. Amen. However, when the major problems come, many of us seemingly don't handle it too well. Yeah, even those of us who love the Lord. Yeah, baby, I know you sanctified and you filled with the Holy Ghost, but even folk that love the Lord seem to don't handle problems too well. Instead of us falling upon that which we sing about, we preach about, and have sat in classes and learned about, some of us have the tendency to skip over the period between unsaved and now. And we'll refer back to our old ways, our old way of doing things. And instead of handling them in a godly way, we handle them in an ungodly, unseemly, and even sometimes some satanic influenced way. I know I'm right about it. I come to tell you this morning that no matter what you're going through right now or what you will face this year, there is nothing that you will go through that God won't see you through. Yeah, in other words, if you avail yourself to the prescription in the Holy Writ, God is on standby like a wrestler. And I got a wrestler fans in here standing on the ropes with his arms extended. You know, he's extending them towards you, waiting on you to tag him in so that he can give you the victory. Yeah. So in this text, we turn our attention to this Old Testament book of wisdom, better known as Proverbs. King Solomon here is the son of David, is the one who penned this Proverbs. Although he was the child of an illicit affair, God shows favor upon the child and fills him with wisdom and access to wisdom. It reminds us that you can start out life in a bad context, but if the Lord is on your side, he can turn your life around. He can move you beyond what folks say you are. If the Lord is on your side, he can lift you out of your dire circumstances. Solomon, my brothers and sisters, writes to Israel and anyone who hear his inspirational notes from the Lord that he either learned or was inspired to write. In this passage, Solomon gives us the key on what to do when you don't know what to do. In other words, he gives us what to do when you can't figure it out. I got 3 points I want to make, and I'm going to get out of your way. First thing Solomon does, he says that now in order for you to figure out what to do when you don't know what to do, first thing you got to do is learn how to trust in the Lord. That's the text. The very first word that comes out of his mouth in regards to how we handle things seem almost an insult. Because you would think that as a believer, the first thing that we do is trust the Lord. But I don't think every believer trusts in God in everything. Oh, you don't have to say amen, because I know I'm right about it. You may say, I'm a full-grown child of God. I am a believer, and I love the Lord with all my heart. But Solomon says that even you too, you need to learn how to trust in the Lord. The problem that many of us have is that we have church worship down to the science. We know how to shout. We know how to dress. We know how the order of service go. We know how to sing. We know how to say amen. We know how to hoop. We know how to holler. But none of that has anything to do with trusting in the Lord. I wish I had some witnesses there. Baby, I don't care because you dance and you robot and do whatever you want to do. That ain't got nothing with you showing evidence that you trusting in the Lord. I wish I had some witnesses. Because see, trusting in the Lord is not just some pretty chorus to sing in a church song. Trusting in the Lord has nothing to do with what part of church that you sit in on Sunday. Trusting in the Lord isn't about whether you're a preacher or a deacon or a mother or a trustee or secretary or a Sunday school teacher, baby. Trusting in the Lord ain't about your family heritage. Trusting in the Lord is something that I cannot do for you. So you have to do it for yourself. Trusting in the Lord, guess what? It's not transferable. It's not acquired by osmosis or by blood contact. Trusting in the Lord, if your mama trusted him and your dad are trusting him, you can't get trust in the wheel. You got to trust the Lord for yourself. I know I'm preaching up in here. So what does it mean? In the original Hebrew languages, the word for trust is beta. And its definition is deafening. It primarily means a belief or feeling of safety and security. But it also means, Brother, that I trust God so much that when I come into circumstances and obstacles, it looks like I'm unsuspecting. It looks like I'm naive, but I'm really trusting in the Lord. Even though I might look vulnerable to you, I'm really trusting in the Lord. That's what blows your mind about this text. I know it blows mine. Is that either I'm going to trust the Lord and leave it alone, or I'm going to do it by myself. And I think I'd rather turn things over to the Lord and let him work it out. Because a father explanation of beta means that I live a life free of danger. Why? Because the Lord has got this thing under control. It's not you or me, but the Lord got it under control. And that's why we can't trust in the Lord, because we talk about, I trust it. We quick to tell him, babe, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look, you saying that because guess what? You may be dealing with a situation that you in control of. It's easy to tell folk that. But when you're in a situation, baby, where you have, look, there's no way that you can get your hands on it at all, you truly got to trust in the Lord. See, so many people watch it, worry and lose their mind and lose their cool because they're trying to work stuff out. But when you really, sure enough, let the Lord handle it, you can live life without worry. Why? Because you know that if he handled it one time, he can handle it again. You know, if he fought your battle one time, he can fight it again. You know, if he showed up one time, he'll do it again. You know, if he gave you victory one time, guess what? He gonna give you victory again. And if he had your back that time, he got your back this time. I'm sorry, but I need you to help me and encourage somebody. You sitting beside somebody here in church today that haven't learned how to trust the Lord. You need to help me to tell somebody to just lean yourself into his hand and let him have his way. Secondly, the text teaches us that when you can't figure it out, I told y'all I'm not deep, I'm just practical. When you can't figure it out, the text lets us know, secondly, that I cannot lean on my own understanding. What I originally thought Solomon was saying is that I cannot lean on my assessment of the situation. But that's not what Solomon wrote in Hebrew. No, no. What Solomon said is that I cannot try to replicate faith in myself. I just mess you up, didn't I? Because, see, Solomon says that faith needs to be in God and not in you. Faith, my brothers and sisters, has to have an object, and it's not you, and it's not me. There must be an object of your faith in order to be able for faith to go to work. There has to be an object. Watch this. I trip on these Facebook posts. You know, I look at them from time to time, how people be all over the place. Watch this. One day, they'll talk about how smart they are. The next day, they talk about how smart God is. The next day, they'll talk about how good they are. And the next day, they talk about how good God is. In other words, guess what? Solomon is saying, I cannot compare myself nor my wisdom, which is what that word benal in Hebrew is, that is translated understanding. He said, I cannot compare my wisdom to God's wisdom. Because you're not wise enough. You don't have any wisdom without God. So let me say this. Too many people listen to the wrong voices in their souls. That's why we don't get an understanding. That's why we keep leaning on our own understanding, because we're listening to too many of the wrong voices. You've got to learn how to discern between your voice and the voice of the Lord. You got to learn how to discern between your partner's voice, who's going to tell you what you want to hear, and the voice of the Lord. Look. Here's the reality. You may not like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Just because you think you can handle it, you can't. Yeah. Just because you've been to school doesn't mean you can handle everything, baby. Yeah, because I know some folk that's been in school. They're just as cuckoo as a cock-a-doodle-doo. Ain't got no sense at all. Do you hear me? Look. Just because somebody trained you to hold a position in church doesn't mean you please not glorifying God in it. I know I wouldn't get very amens, many amens there. And see, the worst thing that you can do is have two options. Either I can handle it on my own, or I would give it over to the Lord and choose the wrong option. That's the worst place to be. Sometimes, watch this, we may have a good idea, but it's not God's idea. Can I at least get an amen there? Myron Holmes may have a good idea. He may think it may work for New Jerusalem. But is it what God has said? It would be wrong for me to come up in here and stand up in here and say, God told me to tell you this and here, and I ain't heard nothing from God. Because you know what's going to happen? It's going to flop. You may have a good idea, but it's not God's idea. So watch it. It may sound like it will work. It may look like it'll work. But if God is out in it, baby, it ain't gonna work. Do y'all hear me? Many of us, look, there's a reason why. You know why we act like that? You know why? Because many of us belong to the I tried it my way club. Yeah, and guess what? It didn't work. Because if the truth be told, guess what? All of us have been a part of that tried in my way club because, look, I tried. I tried it in my relationship. It didn't work. I tried it in my friendship. It didn't work. I tried it in my decision. It didn't work. I tried it in my leadership. It didn't work. I tried it in the way of church ministry. It didn't work. I tried it my way in how to worship. Guess what? It just didn't work. And Solomon says, I want to save you some grief. He said, don't put your wisdom in the same category as the wisdom of God. Because, baby, it won't work. God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So quit leaning on your own understanding. But we have to learn how to acknowledge him. Lastly, told you I wasn't going to be long. Get ready. If you can't figure it out, get ready for the journey. He helps us. He said, get ready for the journey. Solomon, watch this, is so wise. He says, don't forget that you own a journey. Life is not just a series of short sprints. It's a long-distance journey that we're perfecting every day. Especially for the believer. Life, look, is a long-distance journey in which day by day, God wants us to be sanctified. Some of us will be on it for 70 years. Some of us won't make it 10 years. But no matter the length, Solomon says that this is a journey. Watch this now. Watch the text. I know it's a journey because he uses the word way. The word for ways in Hebrew is derek, and it means a journey. It means, look, it's a way, a distance, a journey, and a manner. In other words, what are you saying? It speaks to the course of life or the habit and manners you exhibit while on the journey. See, everybody that's on this journey is not exhibiting the life that says you own the right journey. It's one thing to be on a journey. Because, see, we can be on all kinds of journey. And, you know, we hear folks say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Now, you know how it goes. And they begin now. But what habits and what manners are you exhibiting saying that you're on the right journey? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And while you are on this journey, Solomon says this, you must notice, observe, recognize, be aware of, and experience him along the way. And everybody that's on a journey is not experiencing God. No, because what are you saying? In other words, Solomon says you have to yada him along the way or acknowledge him along the way. Yeah. See, on life's journey, it doesn't matter, baby, where you are at, where you think you are going, or who you think you are, or what you think you got. I stop by to tell you, you better have an acquaintance with the Lord. And you had better be familiar with familiar terms with him. Because here's the bottom line. I don't care what you think you got. I don't care how big or how big your name is in society. Look, you will need him along the way towards your goals. Young folks, do you hear me? You going to need him along the way towards your goals in life. I don't care. You can go get you 90 degrees, baby. But you going to need him on the course of why you trying to get those degrees. Woo, preach, Myron. See, on this journey, it's like taking a trip. I drove trucks, y'all, And some of y'all, I think Brother Davenport is in here, Brother ML, they can agree with this. See, before you leave, there's what is called a pre-trip inspection. and a pre-trip inspection, and see, you should do that to your own vehicle. A pre-trip inspection is where you go out, you're going to check the oil, you know, to make sure it don't need change, and if it needs change, you're going to change the oil. You're going to check your hoses, you're going to check the water levels, you check the tires, you check your belts and your brakes. Yeah, on a pre-trip inspection. So when we were young, we would go and travel. You know, my mama would fix some sandwiches. Not sandwiches, yeah. Sandwiches is that good stuff, amen. Yeah, you know, that thick bologna and salami, that ham and cheese and lunch meat. And yeah, you know, them wieners, them red wieners that got a link on them. You know, you got to cut them apart. I got any country folks in here? I know my cousin know what I'm talking about. Amen. See, we cut from the same cloth. We cut from the same bloodline there. So, you know, he know what I'm talking about. You do something, they would fix some sandwiches. Why was it? Because we couldn't afford to stop and eat at them fine restaurants along the way. And then what they would load up the luggage and gas up the night before. Yeah, but before we would hit the road, we would always sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. Yeah, we would invoke his presence so that he can travel with us on the journey. Say, somebody know what I'm talking about. And not only did we talk to the Lord before the journey, but we talked to him when we got on the road. Every time we ate, we talked to him. We said, Lord, thank you for this food we're about to receive. Yeah, when the gas hand would start getting empty and start getting low and wasn't no place to stop in the middle of the night, guess what? We would talk to him that we can make it to the next station. Look, even when you get sleeping, you talk to him even when you get sleeping, when your family don't even know you're sleeping. We talk to him when we made it from out of Mississippi to the next state line. We talked to him over and over and over again because we understood that if we were going to make this journey, it would be by the grace of the Lord. We couldn't do it by ourselves. And I'll come there this morning to tell somebody that we're all on a journey, baby. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims in a strange land. And if you agree with that, then why don't we just quit acting like the church is yours? Why don't you quit acting like you're a lifetime membership here? Because, baby, you gonna die. Why don't you quit acting like you bow God in these positions like you ain't gonna never get old? Why don't you quit acting selfish and don't want to share no knowledge with nobody? Because, baby, you on your way out. Preach, Myron Home. You know I ain't never scared. That's why we have to keep trusting God. This land is strange. It has some strange ways. They have some strange habits. But in spite of how difficult the journey may become, I'm going to keep my mind on the Lord because I can't figure it out. But I know who can. Yeah, I'm not going to fall apart because I know who can. I'm not going to lose my mind because I know who can. But I'm going to stay right here and keep my mind on the Lord. And in all of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. Because he's promised me something to me in this text. He promised, watch this. When God makes a promise, he will always make it happen. Say this, I'm done. He promised, watch this, in the text, he shall direct my path. That word direct means that he will make my ways to be pleasing unto him. He will make my ways to be right before him. He will keep me upright. That means no matter how tired I am, he will keep me upright. That means no matter if I'm about to give up, he will keep me upright. That means no matter if I'm about to fall down, he will pick me up. No matter how bad the road looks, he will make it level and smooth it out. I've just come by to tell somebody to trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding and just acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And when he does, you only have one response. It's thank you. Anybody told him thank you lately? I mean, your only response is thank you. Thank you in the doctor's office. Thank you in the classroom. Thank you when the church controllers don't want to operate, cooperate. Thank you when your money's funny. Thank you when your change is strained. Thank you when I was broke. Thank you when I was up and when I was down. Thank you for those fake friends because they taught me how to choose some good friends. Thank you when I lost my job. Thank you when your loved one died. Thank you when your best friend done died. Thank you after divorce. Thank you while I'm rising and I'm falling. Thank you when you wake me up in the morning. But if you're looking for a reason, if you ain't thanked them yet, and you still looking for a reason, come on and go to Calvary with me. Jesus died on the cross. Thank you. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Thank you. But all this Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Thank you. And he's coming back again. Thank you. I'm done.